Takes a while to learn to walk in those things. Well, good morning, everyone. Good having you with us this morning. Appreciate that. And, you know, I just enjoyed everything that happened this morning. It was just like God is orchestrating things. And, wow, it's even snowing outside for our Canadian. I would rather not have it just yet, but it's okay. But, you know, the thing is, you know, the one prayer that went up is, us being able to transform others. And you know, that's so true. And that's what's so needed. And really, that's what God wants to do. He wants to transform us as a church. You know, what I've learned in ministry is you can't give what you don't have. You can talk about it. You can hope for it. You can pray for it. But until you make some decisions in your own life and God transforms you and blesses you and gives you the giftings that he wants to give all of us, you got nothing to give, only a hope and a prayer. So I cherish the power of God and what he'll do in our lives if we just let him. You know what I mean? We just let him. And he's so good to really do that. So the thing is, we need to understand we really can't give what we have, but when you come in this church and you get transformed by those who have already been transformed, God will give you what you need. And you'll touch lives. And that's what it's all about. Anointing others to go and do the work as well. Go into the fields, for they're white unto harvest, the word says. Jesus said that. If you would turn with me to Acts chapter 1. I want to share some things with you this morning that you may not hear a lot in churches. I think in our church here in the last several months or years that we've heard it several times. And I thank God for that. But anyway, there's a lot of churches that don't quite understand or won't receive what God really wants to do in our lives. So read with me, if you would, Acts 1, starting with verse 4. What it's talking about is the promise of the Holy Spirit. And it says this, "And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority.'" But then here's what we really need to understand. Verse 8, he says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Will you pray with me? Father, we ask that you would just illuminate your word in our hearts. Lord, and not just be words that can just fall to the ground or enter our minds where we can just forget. But rather, Lord, it goes to the heart that shows it's possible. It's what you want to do. And that, Lord, we're worthy to receive because we know Jesus and have Jesus in our lives. And so, Lord, thank you for wanting to endow us with power that is with your Holy Spirit, that we might touch loved ones and those that we don't know and those in the whole world that you said that we would go to minister to. Now, Father, thank you for your word, your promise, your Holy Spirit, whom we need desperately, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in Acts, let's see. I think in, I didn't even put that down right. In Acts, it talks about when the Holy Spirit came. In verse, it's Acts chapter 2, verse 2. It says, and when the day of Pentecost, that's one, fully came, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were filled, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What I think we need to see in there is that in Psalms 104 and verse 4, it says, God who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. So he's giving us power, and we need to realize that on the day of Pentecost, you know how the disciples, they were hiding in a room, the doors locked, fearful, because Jesus was just crucified and the persecution was starting. And so they were afraid, and they were hiding out. It's kind of like how a lot of us may feel when it comes time for us really to go and witness. Do you ever have an opportunity come up and you're like, should I or shouldn't I? Should I offer to pray for them, or, well, they wouldn't receive it anyway. They might even get angry about it, so maybe I ought to just mind my own business. You ever been there? Well, folks, the disciples were fearing much more than that. They were not just fearing that they would be rejected, but rather that they'd be killed as well. So this was a big thing. And so Jesus was talking to them earlier, and he says, I don't want you to go anywhere or do anything until the promise comes. See, the promise was, as Jesus said, when I go away, he says, I will send the Holy Spirit to you that will comfort you. He'll be with you. He'll teach you. He'll lead you in my way and teach you all things. And he will give you power from on high. So he says, stay where you're at. Don't go anywhere until you receive the promise, the Holy Spirit. And what I'm finding is and seeing that, you know, there's a lot of people who kind of are afraid of that. Do you ever notice that? The one person who Jesus says, you need him and don't you go anywhere and do anything until you receive him. And here, most of us in different churches don't even teach that. It's like we don't need the Holy Spirit. And I think a lot of it is because we've been maybe taught wrong or we're afraid, especially that one phase, that one phrase about, and they spoke with other tongues or languages. Heaven forbid I might be cursing God because of the devil speaking through me in these words. You know, we get to fear. We, you know, leave it alone, stay away. But I'll tell you one thing, you can get the Holy Spirit and you don't have to speak in tongues if you're afraid of it. See, you get to, but you don't have to. And that should settle some of our minds, but we reject the whole thing. You see, we can live without the Holy Spirit. And you see the churches, have we become instruments of fire? And the wind of the Holy Spirit moving through, changing things and touching people's lives? And you're seeing healings and deliverances, and people are getting saved. You know, a lot of people say, well, guess it's not for today. No, it's... we're not receiving what we need in order for God to do that because of fear or for whatever. You know, and all the people who don't even go to church, see, the church doesn't need the Holy Spirit, and all the people on the outside and doesn't care about God, they don't even need God. Did you know that? That's what they think, exactly. But they're living their lives now. They don't even think about God. See, it is God's mercy still giving them what they need, and they don't even realize it. But they feel they don't need God. And the church feels that we don't need the Holy Spirit. We don't need him. Who is he? But I want to tell you, he's the one thing that we need desperately. You see, they said, you need to, as they went and shared, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. And then you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Folks, this is so very important. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says this, says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. Y'all know that even the angels are not allowed to share Jesus and salvation with people? That's our privilege. The angels can't do it. You remember the centurion that sent for Peter when the Holy Spirit appeared to him and it said, now, you send to Joppa and there's a Peter there. You have him come and that way he can tell you about the things of God that you're searching for now. See, the angel couldn't do that. All he could do is tell him who to go to and get. And they went, and Peter went, and he shared with them. And as he was even talking, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So being ambassadors means we carry God's message to the world. just like angels carry messages from God to humanity. The fire of the Holy Spirit represents purity, power, and the presence of God within us. But folks, a lot of times, we're barely a puff of smoke. It's like we don't have anything to offer. We're good people. We go to church. We love God. We're saved. But it's like the candle's not lit. It's like there's a problem. What, have you ever been to the place where you've wondered, is there more to Christianity than this? Folks, that was me after I was saved. God, is this all there is? You go to church, you sing some hymns, you go back home, nothing happens, no excitement. I said, God, is there more? Folks, sometimes, as we see, our God is not very big in our lives. And it's because we don't let him. Folks, do you know you can have as much of God as you want? You don't think, oh, well, you got to be a preacher, or you got to be an elder, or you got to be a leader in a church. No. Just got to be you who is very hungry. Hungry for God. God, I want more. I want more of you. Folks, I've always wanted more of God because I want to be able to touch lives and hearts. That was my whole desire. God, there's got to be more. There's people out there that are hurting and they're dying without Jesus. God, if there's more, give me more. You know, a lot of us kind of look at it, well, if there's more, God will just give it to me. No, I think he talks somewhere about in there in seeking and asking and knocking. You know, when I wanted the Holy Spirit in my life, and the denomination I was in preached against it. They didn't believe in it at all. See, they just needed Jesus. Well, that's important. We do need Jesus. But Jesus said the power comes from the Holy Spirit. He provides all of our salvation. And then he sent the Holy Spirit. And his purpose is to empower. So I went to, and I'm not much on Pentecostalism because there's a lot of emotions in it. You know, and emotions are great. But see, I don't thrive on it. You might say I'm almost emotionless at times. But I went to this Pentecostal church because I knew the pastor there. And him and his youth leader would pray over me. I'd be in the middle. And I told him, I said, guys, I want the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit. And I'm not quitting until I get him. But see, with my hard head and the teachings that I had, I kind of pushed a lot of that aside all the time. Or it was hard for me really to receive it. Because a lot of times you feel that you've got to earn something. But they would pray on either side of me, and then they would pray in tongues. And I don't know how many weeks I went down there. and had them pray over me, but I'm so thankful that they did. Because one day I was at the airport and I was had to clean up there, and so I was actually mopping a floor and I was praying, God, I want your Holy Spirit. And I want your gift of tongues. Lord, I want everything you've got to give me. And Lord, I'm hungry for it. And so I'm praying in English, and all of a sudden, I said a word, and it was a word that I remember what one of the pastors said when he was praying in tongues. And so I stopped right away, and you know, I said, I want my own language. I don't want to copy somebody. And so I continued to pray, and then I said the word again. And I stopped. I said, Lord, I don't want to be a copycat. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you speak what I give you, and then you will get more. And so here I am. The word was Shundai. I don't know what it means. I have no idea. It was just Shundai. And so I repeat. You see, to the worldly man, that's foolishness. It's what a lot of people think about tongues when you talk about it. It's just foolishness. Saying a word like Shundai, how stupid. You don't even know what it means. You're crazy. But the word says that the worldly man will reject the things of God because they can't comprehend spiritual things. Well, I didn't comprehend it either, but I trusted God in it. Folks, I'm not trying to convert you into anything. I'm just telling you that God is real. There's more out there for us. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, we get giftings. Giftings not just for us, but so we can love on other people, that we can touch their lives, that we can change them for the Lord. They're hurting. They're hungry for help. And they're crying out, somebody, please help me. And I want to be able to do that. Because I can remember even in preaching, I said, God, first of all, I see it as such a privilege to be able to share God's word. He won't let the angels do it, but he called me to do it, and you. And I count that as such a great privilege, an honor. It's an honor for me that God would do that. But I said, Lord, that I would, in my preaching, that I would be able to bless your people and that you would be glorified in it. And that was my prayer. I prayed that prayer for months and months and months. Almost every day, until God did speak to me and he says, Jim, you will indeed bless my people and you will glorify me in it. And I said, Lord, thank you. Folks, this is all so important. And there's a lot of ministers, I think sometimes they're maybe afraid to share a lot of these things. They don't know what the people would think. I was in the UP, and I was doing a Carrick's weekend up there, and so it was my turn. I had a thing to preach and to share with them. And I always talk just a little bit about the Holy Spirit. because he's so important to me. Changed my life. Jesus really changed my life, but the Holy Spirit has added to it. And he empowered me. And I've learned that I can trust him because he's faithful. He doesn't leave you out there hanging. And then you feel rejected and all by yourself and hated by people. Well, I shared a little bit, did the whole thing. It was like I was supposed to take about an hour to do that. It's a teaching that we do, which is great teaching. And after that, one of the ministers approached me, very angry that I talked about the Holy Spirit. Because to him, when you preach about the Holy Spirit, you're talking and preaching about being Pentecostal. Why would you hate the Pentecostal? You know, because they talk about the Holy Spirit, and it's like, okay, that's their thing, and God uses that. And all of that is between them and God. I don't hate them for it. I've gone to some services before. And when I preached it, some of them sometimes, they didn't swing on chandeliers or run on the backs of pews. For me, they do for others because they can hype it or they know how to spark the excitement. But I'm just a dreary old me that gets up and I just talk a little bit. And that's what I do, but see, I want to teach the word. I don't want to hype you into doing something that God's not really trying to do in your life. So you're God's people and I honor you. And I honor the God that's in you. And my hope and desire in all of this is just simply to show you that there's more, that God really cares for you and that he'll really use you. You see, you're special in his eyes, even though you don't feel special. You feel that you're just an old sinner and nobody can use you who loves you. But that's a lie. God loves you. I don't think you're really here by accident. I really believe how God orchestrates things. Folks, at 2:30 this morning, I didn't even have a message. I had about six of them. And I'm like, all right, Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, starting at around 2:30, 3 o'clock this morning, he started bringing bits and pieces from all of them that I had prepared to put this one together. You see, that's how I trust my Lord and the Holy Spirit. I know how I screw up things. Am I ever screw anything up? I tend to do it all the time when I do it within myself. But see, I'm learning to trust. I'm learning to ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? I trust you, Lord. We haven't even gotten off the first page, but anyway, that's how it goes. Do you understand what the Lord is trying to say to us today? He wants us to make him King and Lord in our lives and to trust him. And he says, let go. And he says, I'll do the rest. Trust me, come to me. receive from me. And he says, I'll change your life. There should never be a bored Christian. Because the Lord says, we're fiery servants. Do you ever hear the word people ask? Wow, they're on fire. Amen. That's Psalms 104:4. See, that's what God makes us, his flaming servants. You know, he says, don't hide your light. I tried that once. I got kicked out, well, politely asked to leave because I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I thought they would just be so thrilled. I mean, I was, and I thought they would be, but I was wrong. And so I went to Bay City, thought that maybe that's where the Lord was moving us. So I went to another same church, same denomination, and I thought, I'm going to hide the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to let anybody know and pretend that I don't even know the Holy Spirit. Well, that didn't work either. Because one of my deacons, they're called deacons, but they're actually serve as elders. And this one said, Jim, he said, you know, I can't put my finger on it, but there's something different about you. I'm like, different? Really? He says, yeah, do you speak in tongues? And I changed the subject. I would never answer him. And he's with me, he'd say, Jim, what's different about you? He said, you're different. And I said, well, is it a good difference or a bad difference? He said, well, no, it's a good difference. But you're different. You see, you can't hide what God gives you all the time and get away with it. And I thank God for that. You know, when Paul was at Ephesus, he met some of the other disciples there. And as he talked to them, it's like, hey, guys, have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to Paul, they said, we haven't even so much as heard that there was a Holy Spirit. And so Paul was like, well, what baptism then were you baptized under? And they said, John's baptism. Paul said, well, that was a baptism unto repentance. And so he shared Jesus with them, whom John talked about, John the Baptist. And they were saved, and he took them down and he baptized them. Then after that, he laid hands on them and they spoke in tongues. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'm telling you, people can see the Holy Spirit in you. And don't be afraid of that. I think we need to be blessing God for the opportunity to carry the Holy Spirit and be used by him. My last thing here is, I know you're coming close to receiving a pastor. You've waited a long time. You've been very faithful. And God is blessing you in that. But there's something I believe you really need to be cautious of. First of all, you need a pastor that's saved. Folks, I want to tell you, there's a lot of them out there that don't know Jesus. They know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. My cousin was one of those. He baptized my wife when she was in Sunday school. And he said years later, when they had a revival going on, that he went to the evangelists and said, "Hey, I got a problem here." And he said, "What's that?" He says, I don't think I'm saved." The minister said to him, he said, "Well, you're a preacher. You know what to do. Go do it." So he said he went and knelt at the altar, gave his heart and his life to Jesus. And he was saved. He said he preached 11. He started a church. And for 11 years he preached. And he was lost. Find one that you know was saved. And then maybe you ought to ask them if they believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the giftings by the Holy Spirit. And you need to do that, because if you want to grow, you'll never grow past your leaders. You'll never advance beyond your leadership. That's why it's so important. So I just want to throw that out. Y'all do what you need or what you want to do, but my prayer is that you will really seek God and don't be so anxious just to take somebody that sounds good, because they could bring death. Kind of like the new mayor of New York. Anyway, we went into politics. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit and your gifts. And Lord, all that you want to do in our lives, help us, Lord, to surrender to your will and your desires. Father, that we can be so filled, so joyful and excited that you are working in our lives. And Father, that all that we do, that we will bring honor and glory to you and to your people. Thank you, Father, for that. And I want to make this declaration over you. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.